The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
Wake up, Windsor. Wake up, Detroit. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
Nice IDs. I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
Taylor.
Kramer.
Doing the awesome IDs for us.
Yep.
And they were done.
Thank you again for that.
In which studio was it? What was the name of that studio she did that in?
That was called Jeep Ride Studios.
Jeep Ride, yeah.
Yeah.
The owner
located in the USA.
Yeah. They have good facilities there, I think.
Mobile unit.
Oh.
Mobile facility.
It's like Deep Purple, how they recorded Machine Head.
That's right.
Mobile. On the road, in a hotel.
Making records in the mobile.
That's awesome. How you doing, Big JD?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Can't complain.
Me either.
It's a beautiful Sunday morning here in Windsor, Ontario.
Canada.
Yes, sir. It's a long weekend for the Americans.
For us. What?
No. We had ours
only
last
thinking
weekend.
Of yourself?
Only thinking of yourself. No.
No, we had Victoria Day.
Yes, we did. What'd you do for Victoria Day?
Oh, all kinds of stuff.
I don't believe you.
I don't know. When was Victoria Day?
Well, the holiday was Monday, last Monday.
Right. Well, so was the American.
The American.
Wasn't it on Monday as well?
No, that's this weekend.
It is?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm trying to think what they call their long weekend in May.
President's Day.
No, that's just in February.
President's Choice.
That's it. President's Choice holiday.
Food line.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know either.
But I recall the Canadian holiday always being called the May 2-4 weekend. And forever, it hasn't been.
It's Memorial Day.
Oh, in the
United States
Memorial Day
of Canada.
Very nice. We have our Memorial Day in November. We call it Remembrance Day.
We have.
Yeah, we.
I know.
do you know what happened though to the May 2-4
weekend?
What
happened?
Like our May 2-4 weekend is never on May 2-4.
Yeah. Well,
the Americans took it over.
What do you mean they took it over?
Well, it's like their holiday, their Memorial holiday, is always close to May 24th, whereas ours is always the weekend before. Do you remember when that happened at all?
No, nope.
It kind of just came on. I want to
no
say
idea.
Like 15, 20 years ago, all of a sudden we have an early holiday, and the Americans is a different holiday. I think we should share holidays. I think it should happen around the same time for whatever reason. I mean, you get a lot of Canadians going over, like last Monday, a lot of Canadians went over.
Yeah, but then there'd be more congestion and everything at the border because it's a double whammy.
Yeah, but this is a holiday that's celebrated by the entire country.
Remember that song, Holiday, from Nazareth?
Yeah, and Green Day. We do that one.
Green Day?
Yeah, Green Day does a song called Holiday as well.
I don't recall it, but I swear.
Michael Butler just did a interview with Dan McCafferty. I have yet to listen to it, but that's another good podcast. If you're into music, you're into podcasting, Rock and Roll Geek. Just look it up on the internet. He did an interview with Don McCafferty. He's a big Nazareth fan as well. But of course, I remember the song Holiday. I want to say
later Nazareth.
What was it really?
That was, yeah, way later.
Okay.
That was like the new Nazareth.
Really? Oh, I didn't realize that. I know it was big on the radio.
Yep. Yep. Like
it was probably one of their later hits is what you're telling me.
Yeah. Yeah. It was later Nazareth. Yep. They only had that. Maybe that and maybe one other later hit. I don't know. Was there anything else later that they... I don't recall anything else.
I can't put myself in a Nazareth frame of mind this morning. Maybe if you crank some up, I'd be happy to...
Nope.
I didn't think so. But, yeah, it's just interesting that we lost our May 2-4. It always seems earlier, and the weather is crappy because it's so early in the season still. We never get a really nice, hot... Or it's
nothing
warm,
right now.
Warm holiday so we can go camping. Whereas well,
at some point, we will.
At some point, I think last year wasn't too bad, maybe the year before, but overall, it's been cold and crappy on our, what do we call our holiday? Victoria Day.
Yep.
And
Queen Victoria.
Queen Victoria. We're celebrating
Queen's birthday.
A queen that hasn't been around for a long time. And that's is that Queen Elizabeth's mom? I guess it would be, wouldn't it? Oh no,
grandmother.
Grandmother. That's right. Because it was her dad who was the king.
Mm-hmm.
King.
Lear.
George. The fifth.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to say.
You go.
Look at me go. I'm an American. I know all this Canadian history.
Yeah.
That makes me really
I'm Canadian and all I know is American history.
I know. You're very in tune with what's going... Your ex what?
American History X. The movie.
Oh,
that's all I know about American history.
That was... was that?
Edward Norton movie.
He was in it.
That popped into mind, but yeah, yeah. He was in it.
Spike Lee.
Right. Spike Lee.
Yeah, it was a good movie. It's like we have a little blues flavor coming into the news.
We have a blues flavors throughout the show, actually, because our intro is kind of a heavy version of Johnny Be Good.
Right. Yep.
But anyway.
Anyway, Velvet Underground. Are you familiar with the band?
Yeah, I am.
That's Mr. Lou Reed.
Not to be confused with Velour Underground.
Velour and Velvet.
Layman's Velvet.
Layman.
Or whatever.
I can get really dirty, but this is a clean show.
Whoa.
There is a, I don't want to say it's a bootleg, but it's a record, actual record, an acetate record, vinyl, that was recorded back in the early days of Velvet Underground, before they even signed. The engineer who worked on that, his name was Norman Dolph. He recorded the test pressing in secret and after hours in exchange for a painting by the group's then manager, Andy Warhol.
Ooh.
I didn't realize that Andy Warhol was Velvet Underground's manager. Warhol wanted to record and cut the acetate before the band signed to a record label to minimize label intrusion. Dolph sent the acetate to Columbia Records, who rejected it alongside Atlantic and Elektra. Verve Records would eventually agree to pick it up. Then you fast forward to 2002 when record collector Warren Hill saw it at a street sale in New York City and bought it for 75 cents.
Wow.
Yeah. In 2006, he put the record up for auction on eBay, and it initially sold for $155,000. But I think that the buyer didn't pick it up. It eventually was auctioned off for $25,000, and it's going up for auction again.
Big bucks.
Yeah, big bucks for a 75-cent record that somebody picked up. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Stories like that. And it was all done on the hush-hush.
Stories like that.
Yeah. Like the rock and roll stuff.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but there's a lot of bad news in rock and roll and metal these days. Like with Tony Iommi and his cancer possibly being back, and Sabbath maybe not touring anymore. Vivian Campbell's cancer's back, 7 issues. I think the bass player from Megadeth's brother passed away recently. Everybody's getting sick.
Well, people are getting old is what's going on.
I guess, yeah. Not all of them, though. Vivian Campbell, he's got to be younger than us.
No. He's as old as me, I want to say. He's 50 for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yep. Because I remember when he joined Dio, he was like a kid.
He was a kid, yeah.
But I thought we were older than him.
At the time?
Yeah.
I want to say I was as old. I mean, we could easily wiki or Google
him up. Easily we could, but we won't.
Well, we're not going to do that.
Nah.
We're not going to waste the people's times.
Nah, we'll save it for the trivia show.
Hey, we have a music trivia show.
We should
next week.
There you go, folks. Next week it's the trivia show.
Yeah, I think if we come up with an idea during a show, we shouldn't say all back and
we'll forget about it anyways.
Exactly.
If we don't,
we just got to do it. Next week, we're telling the folks right now, music trivia.
Mm-hmm.
Even though a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about today is somewhat related to music trivia, if you'd
kind of.
If you put it into
because we're going to be what are we going to be talking about on the show today?
Repurposing music,
right?
As opposed to music just for whatever the purpose is.
Something I never thought of about repurposing music, though, too, is that when they do remakes and sometimes guys take songs like Eminem will take a song, you know, like the Sample Zombies it. Tune or something, and That's kind of repurposing too. So we absolutely can talk about that as well.
Save it
as
for the show. Like
therapies and different things. Yeah. Save it for the show.
Oh, this is the show. Wait,
but we're in the news segment.
Let's get some more news.
You have some better news than what I had?
Well, you know, Led Zeppelin, I had talked about last week, is releasing their remastered stuff. And
again.
Having all kinds of packages and no small package either.
All right. We were talking about packages pre-show, measuring, and anyway.
So with this impending release of their first three, obviously they're going to release the whole catalog at some point.
Yeah, they don't want to do it all at once.
Don't want to blow your load all at once, as they say.
Talk about packages.
Randy California is claiming the hard rock legend stole the intro for their 1971 single Stairway to Heaven from the Spirits' 1968 song Taurus. This is really old rock.
Which is Tuchus in Jewish.
Thank you very much for that. I love having a Jewish guy on the show.
I love having a Jewish guy on the show.
So he says it's been a long time coming now. You know, we finally get our stuff. And he said it would have been nice if, you know, these guys made $1 million just on that one song alone. It would have been nice if they would have come up to us and said, hey, you know, here's some money for you.
Well, who says they really stole it, though? Sure, there's similarities, but at some point along the line, somebody's going to come up with an idea that sounds like or similar to somebody else's idea or the same idea and have no knowledge of that said idea.
Yeah, but
you get the idea?
Back in those days, Jimmy Page ripped stuff off.
Yeah, literally. They stole a lot of stuff.
They stole
chances
a lot of stuff.
Are they did, but
they put their name on songs that weren't their songs.
But I guess you can't say unless he said, yeah, I knew the tune and I stole something from it and then offered to give something. You can't just, you know, you can accuse, but you can't say you should give me something.
Right.
Just because
I think he more than anything, it sounded like he wanted an apology.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, we'll do it for him. We're sorry, buddy, that you got your stuff ripped off.
You got your
so there's your apology from Jimmy. And Jimmy, give us a call and, you know.
Yeah, we'll straighten the whole thing out for him.
There you go.
We'll get the two guys happening. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers will release their first album in 4 years, Hypnotic Eye.
Okay.
On July 29th, and they are launching a North American tour just a few days after on August 3rd. But
the Traveling Wimpleberries?
No, it's the Heartbreakers. Okay. A part of the Heartbreakers, don't you understand?
Okay.
But Petty has tied the album closer to the tour than most artists do. Every ticket purchased will include a copy of the album.
Well, that's cool.
You talked
earlier about the record label not wanting, or the manager not wanting the record label to, you know,
no,
I don't remember what it was, but with the Andy Warhol thing,
right? Yeah,
and that stuff's been going on for years and years and years. Like now, you know, recently the like Pearl Jam not wanting
ticket things, yeah.
And you know, labels and the whole thing, and
yeah, for sure.
Another prime example of that stuff.
So are we going to play some music?
Sure.
That's what this is. It is a music podcast, right? What are we going to listen to?
Yeah. Music is just what I needed. There you have the Cars, just what I needed.
I thought that was, the Cars were the thing because of that song.
And, they had some great hits, though.
Awesome
cool
hits.
Stuff.
And that was
Best Friend's Girl.
Best Friend's Girl, for sure.
Best Friend's Girl.
Even the song Candy O, I thought was really awesome,
Yeah,
too.
Which was like, that was, second or third album?
Second album.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I was a big Cars
fan.
There
were a bunch of big hits on there, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they were full of them. But the thing that surprised me about that song was the bass player was singing.
Oh, okay.
His name's Ben Orr.
As opposed to Ozaki Raki? What's his name?
Rick Ocasek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just want to mention that that Cars song, Just What I Needed, was used in Circuit City advertisement. So we're going to be talking about those kinds of things on the show today, music repurposed. So for advertising, music used for therapy, and what was the other one we mentioned that we wanted to talk about today that was something new? Repurposing old songs for sampling and that kind of thing. So we'll get into that when we come back.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
That's not blues.
No blues there. Punk. As punk
unless you
gets.
Slow it down, maybe. Might sound bluesy.
I doubt it.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. What's that? Doo-wop?
It sounds pretty doo-wop-y, which was blues-based as well. And speaking of songs, didn't we talk about that last week? The morning drive thing? The morning...
No, I don't think we... maybe you mentioned that I...
Oh, did you?
Did a thing. But then post-show, Lippo says he's wants to send a song in, and he did. We should play our songs, actually, on the show today.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
But it was interesting that I saw that ad for that, and we were getting ready for one of the songwriting contest shows.
The USA Songwriting Contest, competition or whatever. And we entered that, actually, our song that we did on our three-part song.
So I owe you money for that, right? Like $17.50 or something.
What's that?
I owe you money for that, entrance fee.
I'll just keep the $50,000. No, I'm just kidding. It was like, what was it, $30, $35 or something like
something,
that. Yeah. Anyway, but it was, it's cool.
So yeah, we were working on those shows, writing a song and, finding out stuff about songwriting. And
live on the air.
And then the thing for CKLW comes up, write a song for the morning show that's on
the morning
CKLW,
drive,
which is called The Morning Drive.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Mike and Lisa. Yeah, big listeners of...
Oh, yeah. Huge listeners.
Big JD and Lippo. Yeah. In the morning.
They're sometimes late for their own show because they're listening to us.
They're listening.
I think they want us on one morning coming up, actually.
I heard that they do, but they're afraid. Management over at CKLW.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
They're like, it's funny how a small town like Windsor compared to, let's say, Chicago or whatever. They're somewhat celebrity-ish, how the morning people can become celebrity-ish in any city.
Sure. Well, look at Dave and Chuck the Freak were.
Dave and Chuck the Freak. They're from, they were. Are they Americans, though? Or are they actual Canadians?
That I don't know.
I don't know.
But they were on our, they worked from here, didn't they not?
They did.
Yeah. The stations here. And that's all tied together. CKLW, CKWW, 97 something, 96
CIMX.
Something. The Mix. Is that where Gnip is now?
Well, that's 89X.
Oh, he's at one of the other stations, but I think it is one of their stations, though, that he went to?
I would assume so.
Somewhere else, anyway.
Yeah, they all kind of move around up and down all over the place.
Up and down the dial. WKRP.
Oh, right.
Remember
WKRP,
that?
Yeah. They are up and down the dial, all in one
tired
building.
Tired of packing and unpacking. Hey. Moving around up and down the dial.
Great show.
This?
We are having a great show, absolutely.
All right, we're out of here. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for coming out.
More music?
Yes, of course. It's a music show. What are we playing, and where was it repurposed?
Well, you're playing Blitzkrieg Bop.
Oh, Blitzkrieg Bop, and that was a... was that Circuit City that played that? Cars tune.
Was it?
Yeah.
Is that what we said?
Yeah, there's so many advertisers that we...
Yeah, but that's what our theme on the show today is, playing some of these songs that were used in advertising. And Blitzkrieg Bop was, of course, the Ramones, but for Diet Pepsi. Song was used for Diet Pepsi.
They made millions off that.
Millions off which?
The Ramones.
Oh, okay. I thought Diet Pepsi made lots of money off using their song.
If you're going to have someone buy your song, you want it to be McDonald's or Pepsi or Coke. Or
maybe we should take our song around and sell it to somewhere.
1, 2, 3, 4...
you ever do that tune? I know you covered a couple tunes now and then.
Nope.
King Friday's done that.
We did some Misfits stuff.
Awesome.
Like, you know, well, different, but reminds me of that, you know. Like,
sure, of course. It's all down the same.
Quick, fast, easy three song with three chord things.
Yes, exactly.
Ramones, though, I don't recall if we did any Ramones.
But you were definitely...
There's a couple songs I would like to do.
Sure. I can tell you're
somewhat... I Want to Live. I don't know if you know that song.
I don't know if I do
great
either.
Great Ramones tune, man. I want to live. I want to live my life. And there's some other cool ones that are really heavy. I like the heavy stuff. Even later, like that Pet Sematary album and stuff like that. It was cool, heavy stuff.
Sure. Yep. It was... by then, punk had been well established, and I don't know if they were trying to not stray from that formula that had got them so successful.
Yeah, it was still like newer and heavy sounding, but old school Ramones punk still. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they did that one album that was all covers.
I don't know if I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, even Journey to the Center of the Mind they did on there.
Journey to the
CCR tune. Yeah, they did everything, man. Like a lot of cool stuff on it. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Joseph.
Not punk style though. I mean, not
Of course.
I mean, not original
style. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So what are we talking about on the show today?
We're going to be talking about how music that was probably initially released for either personal pleasure, commercial gain, or just because you got to put an album out because you're under contract, how that kind of stuff made its way into other things.
And we'll talk about that as soon as we come back. No, I'm just kidding.
You're out of control.
He's out of control.
He wants to come back.
Rock and roll. It's out of control.
So what do you, I'm trying to think, like, when did commercially released music begin to be used for commercials, purposes?
That's a good question. Like, I don't think we have the answer to that this morning.
Do you think it was in the 50s? No, do you think it was in the 50s? Or?
Yeah, probably. I'm going to say probably the advent of rock and roll.
The advent of rock and roll, a lot of people were against it. They were against it. Like, it was like, this is bad. This is devil music, especially in the South. So a lot of national advertisers.
But I think that's when messages started coming across, though. You know what I mean? With rock and roll and rebellion, whatever, like people had something to say. And that's when messages were coming out more so, I think, in music than, you know, just your standard love song or whatever. And so they could use these things for, you know what I mean? So when a song was about something in particular or really gave off some kind of a feeling like rock and roll did, they could use that for advertising and to get their message across.
Right. So you don't think like early Frank Sinatra stuff was possibly used or like...
I'm going to say that stuff was maybe used a little like afterward maybe. Like I don't think it was some of the first stuff used really. Although it was earlier music than a lot of other music, but... Yeah, if you might look up what was the first song used in advertising or something like that, or maybe first rock and roll song.
And back in those days, a lot of songs, if it was used, the whole songwriter, that whole thing was an industry unto itself. The whole music industry really revolved around publishing. So if you wrote music, you were making money. If you wrote lyrics, you were making money. Just because you recorded it, you were the artist that recorded it, didn't necessarily mean that you were the person who was going to be making the money from sales of that song.
Right.
Thanks for elaboration on that. But I'm just saying, like Tin Pan Alley and all that stuff where there was, you know, the song or the music industry really revolved around song writing, publishing, and the actual making of the records itself. Mm-hmm. That's where the money was at. If you were just a performer, you were just a hired hand a lot of times. That's what Frank was and, you know, Dean Martin and Jerry Vale and all those guys. They were just crooners who sang other people's songs. A pretty face to put on.
Well, yeah, to some degree. But there was Frank Sinatra had a lot of writers, and Frank Sinatra quickly became...
A thing in his,
He was recording early on, so...
Yeah.
But I don't think those songs were used as much as they are actually nowadays. I'm gonna still stand by my rock and roll was like, some of the earliest music used in advertising.
Now, what is a music bed for our listeners?
Well, a music bed is
not a music bed for our listeners either.
Some listeners may have heard of that referred to as a bed track. So it's music behind something. You know, it's used as a bed, you know, a platform to build something else over top of. So in commercials and advertising, the thing, they'll have a music bed that's just a bed track of music with no singing or anything over it. And then, you know what I mean? Like our IDs tend to be, we talk over, you know, hey, this is Big JD and Lip in the morning, and you hear some music in the background. And
right.
So background music to sum all that up.
Well, that's as opposed to, you know, being the main thing, that mm-hmm. the actual message is not there.
And a lot of music is used for that, and just the music itself, even without, you know, a part of the music that doesn't have lyrics because it's recognizable. And people associate that music or that, you know, whatever the feeling is from that music with some particular voice over top or whatever.
Right. And I think that was
that's a repurpose
when Zeppelin started their Cadillac thing, which
that was a big one. Yeah. Using rock and roll for the Cadillac commercials.
But they never sang. It was just the music, if I'm correct. I don't think there was any singing.
I think you're right. Yeah. And if there was, if I recall any singing, it wasn't Led Zeppelin. Like it might've been somebody else's. And sometimes they do that. And it's somebody else singing it, somebody else's voice, you know, it's not actually the person that did the song originally.
Yeah. They'll maybe even make an original arrangement of the song specifically for the advertisement.
And talking about advertising, as repurposing, there are, and that's the theme of the music today on the show, actually, but there's so many songs that we can tell you that
were used for the song Volare.
Volare.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. I forget who did that. Like Louis Prima, I think, was the guy.
What was it for, though?
Volare, the car.
Oh, it was for the car. I was going to say, I think it was for a Chrysler car
product.
Thing,
and I know my girlfriend used to drive one back okay. when Volare's
my were. Aunt had a Volare.
Was that right?
I believe, yeah.
I'm trying to think what the...
It was a sleeker looking car, had maybe, I want to say it's one of those smaller windows at the back too.
Yeah, I think so. Two door.
Volare.
I'm trying to think what the Dodge
Who did version. Volare, though? Who was it? Did you just
say I want to say it was Louis Prima, but I could be wrong. Okay. I'm not a big, huge Italian singer.
But some of them, actually, other guys did it too. Like, I'm going to say Dean Martin probably did that.
Probably, and, yeah.
Perry Como.
Perry Como.
Do you know Perry Como?
I do know Perry Como. But what were we going to say? We're going to play something else from your long list of ad ripoffs.
Iggy Pop.
Mm-hmm.
Lust for Life.
Right across the river
that
from here.
Was, I want to say, was a, I want to say phone, no, Royal Caribbean.
Cruises.
So, cruises, Lust for Life. And appropriately, right? A lust for life. Want to go on a cruise, have fun, vacation, right? Lust for life.
For sure. And
so that's how that works.
You see them golfing on the deck and going down the water slide and all that stuff right on the ship. It's fun times. You ever go on a cruise, Big JD?
No.
All right.
Only the Boblo boat.
That's our river boat.
I've been on a few ferries.
Nice.
Stop it.
Sam and Todd to film. Drive a GTO. Wear a uniform. A line of government loan. I'm worth a million in prizes. Yeah, I'm through with sleeping on the sidewalk. No more beating my brains. No more beating my brains. With liquor and drugs. With liquor and drugs. Well, I'm just a modern guy. Of course, I had it in the ear before. Could have lost for long. Could have lost for long. I got lost for long. Got lost for long. Oh, lost for long. Oh, lost for long. Lost for long. I got lost for life. I got lost for life. Well, I'm just a modern guy. Of course I had it in my ear before. But I've lost for life. But I've lost for life. I know he's gonna do another striptease. Hey man, where'd you get that lotion? Your skin starts itching once you buy the gear. We can buy some cold love. Oh, love, love, love. Well, that's like giving me fried and chickens. Well, I'm just a modern guy.
Coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
And when we come back, more music repurposing.
I remember back in the 70s, Manuel Noriega. Do you remember that guy?
Jesus, no.
I think his middle name was Jesus.
Still trying to figure out what you said.
Manuel Noriega. Okay. He was the...
Noriega, isn't that where they kept all the prisoners on an island somewhere?
No, this is close, though. He was the president of Panama.
Okay.
Panama's one of those...
Panama!
Yeah, exactly. That's Van Halen was singing all about. But Panama is one of those countries where the United States or Russia, they just bought off the leader. You know, it's a little strip of land that separates big bodies of water. But anyway, Manuel, he kind of got out of hand, basically. Mm-hmm. And so the U.S. was trying to kick him out, and he boarded himself up in the palace of some kind. And I remember they were playing... I want to say it was Metallica, or it could have been Nirvana, but it couldn't have been because it was in the 70s. So it might have been, right. Yeah, it must have been Metallica.
Well, Metallica in the 70s, no.
No Metallica in the 70s either.
No, that was, early 80s when Metallica came out.
I'll have to find out what the music they were playing, but that's another repurposing of music. And I know they do the same thing to torture Muslims as well. They put on loud American punk rock or some death metal or something, and they just pump that into their cells, and it makes them go crazy and say, okay, I'll talk.
Let's talk a little bit about that pumping. I mean, you know, loud music and...
into jail cells and stuff.
Sure. Jail cells, classrooms, what have you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, first the jail cells. If you're not brought up with that kind of mentality, like you're just listening to religious songs, chants or whatever that they have, yeah, back in the hills of Afghanistan, and then all of a sudden you're confronted with really loud music that...
scare the heck out of you.
Well, it's just really annoying. Like, mm-hmm. It just gets to a point where you say, okay, I can't take
this. Which is anymore. Funny, because we'll talk about the other side of the coin, too.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, how it's used for...
making you feel good.
Right.
Yeah. So I just find it interesting that they studied this phenomenon and actually used it successfully to make prisoners talk.
There was something you wanted to talk about this week, and I think you might have forgotten about it, but there was something in particular that was really cool, that was a study or something like that, remember? And I think we were going to... Was that for this show?
Possibly.
It was a study you'd mentioned last show, and I want to say it was a study something to do with music. It was guitarists and their thinking while they're playing.
Oh, right.
Okay, that's something else altogether.
That is something else altogether.
I couldn't remember what it was, but...
And we did talk at length about it last show.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yep, we're good.
So on the other side of the coin to playing loud, obnoxious rock and roll and freaking everybody out, music can also be used as a reward, rock music. Loud, obnoxious rock and roll music as a reward.
For sure.
And I'm sure in more ways than one. The article that I was reading talked about using it as a reward for actually preschool education, special eds.
Yep.
Special needs students as a reward. So obviously that's just because they enjoy listening to or like listening to, you know, that kind of music gets them going. Obviously, don't right. know anything about what it is or the songs or anything, right?
Right. But it's pleasant enough to listen to. And I think we've touched on this topic. That's why I like doing a music podcast, because we touch on a lot of different things that we come back to. We're talking about the animal in us that, you know, you put on some pumping music and a baby will start bopping to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's just a natural
thing. It's a natural thing. Yeah. That's it's part of us. But
great UFO song, natural thing.
So you were saying that this is what you're talking about is like a behavior modification. So kids act up, you withdraw the rock and roll from the environment.
Yeah, or more specifically, reward them when they do something good. So
that's different, though, I think, in so much that as far as behavior modification
goes. Okay, yeah, there's, taking away.
When you take something away.
They are very different, aren't they, actually?
Yeah, so you act a specific way, and then if you do something bad, then something nice that you're enjoying is removed from the environment, and then, you know, you realize, okay, I don't want that to happen again. I won't talk out, or I won't, punch Joey in the arm or whatever. So that's a way that, and this is preschool. Before they even start learning stuff.
Yeah.
So they're playing their games and doing their puzzles. And I wonder if they put that on during nap time.
I don't know about that.
And I wonder if they teach that in early early childhood education, the use of music. Kind of curious.
Early childhood education. Yeah. I'm sure that they do actually must talk about music or use music in some form or another for... teaching purposes or
whatever they do in early childhood education at the
college, whatnot.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the places that those places, in what fact, are those called? Daycare.
Preschool, daycare.
Thank you.
In fact, yeah. And now that you mention it, I know two people that went through ECE program at St. Clair College, and they needed to do something with music and make songs, you know, for kids and stuff. Cause they do, like, you know, Wheels on the Bus go round and round. You know what I mean? It's a big thing with kids and get them to move and do stuff and sing and whatever. And I had written two songs for their classes that they needed. And so it was like a project where they needed a song. And I think they made it use some visuals and stuff. Like one was called Airplane. I wrote for somebody. Mm-hmm. And I think the other one was Dolphins in the Sea. And so they used, you know, pictures or stuffed animals and things like that in conjunction with these songs. And that was some form of, not, I wouldn't say therapy probably, but some type of a teaching tool, right?
Right.
And maybe we can play those songs on the show today. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you're kidding. Because actually, that's not repurposing at all. You were asked to do those songs for that specific reason.
Right, yeah. Yeah. So that's not actually repurposing. But right. We, you know, in talking about the behavior modification or therapeutic use of music. That,
yeah.
Yeah. So some music is actually made for those purposes.
Yes.
But we're trying to stick to repurpose stuff on the show today. For that and things like I mentioned the Eminem thing, like using that old Zombie song, you know, as part of his new
hip hop
stuff, which is really cool. He does that a lot, but a lot of guys do that. I guess you hear these old songs brought back into, and I think it's pretty cool.
What am I thinking of? Oh, the Kid Rock tune where they use the Metallica.
He's using a number of things too. Sweet Home Alabama uses for one, right?
Yes, yes, that's right.
I'm sure there's more.
And he refers to the song in the song. Mm-hmm. You know the song that I got the lick from? That's this
Sweet
song.
Home Alabama all summer long, something like that, doesn't he say? Or whatever,
And good song. And a lick that goes like this.
Okay. What's the Metallica one he does? Enter Sandman or.
I can't think what that is. It's something off Black, though.
Okay, yeah.
It's not coming to me.
Not Enter Sandman?
No, it's not Enter Sandman, no.
Oh, damn.
That's it.
I think that's the one, yeah. Cool stuff. And we'll be back. We talked about Eminem. He was had a big commercial on during the football games, right? A halftime thing for Chrysler or whatever. Yep. So one of his songs was obviously used for that, I guess. But what was he? Was he in the commercial, actually? I can't remember. It was
sometimes 300. There's different versions of that commercial. Sometimes he's in it. Sometimes he's not. And he's just driving. Hmm. Driving, 200.
With, I'm sure, his music behind. I don't remember, but it's got to be his stuff, right? I'm sure.
But there's a choir in there. Which is not unusual, but I'm trying to think if that was his tune or not that was actually playing during that. It must have been. Of course, it had to have been.
Well, a lot of songs we hear on advertising and commercials and things like that for transportation.
They have
car dealers and things like that.
They have a lot of money. Same with the Cokes and the Pepsis.
And this one's no exception. It's Kansas's Dust in the Wind, and it was used for Subaru.
lovely side. Melissa.
All right, that's Melissa from the Allman Brothers. I know that we used to do a version of that. It's a great tune. The chords that are used in that, there's a lot of jingly jangly chords. They're the exact same chords that are used in Yes's I've Seen All Good People.
I've Seen All Good People.
Yep.
Turn Their Heads and something.
Super easy song to play on your guitar. If you're picking up guitar. That's one to...
You talking about Melissa?
Yeah, Melissa and that other tune. It's easy to play. The licks in there are... They're sweet.
Mm-hmm. Sweet as Melissa.
Yep.
Do you know who Melissa was? Which wasn't even about a chick, I don't think.
I thought it was about something a kid. Else.
I can't remember now, but we talked about it at some point on a show.
A show. Way on back a show. In the way back
Remember
days.
The Jabbercast, folks?
I don't even remember
It's
that.
The Jabbercast. I like that.
Okay, well, maybe someday you'll resurrect that.
Oh, maybe. Repurpose.
With video.
Ooh. Now you're talking.
You're talking, but we'd actually be on screen.
Yes, we would be.
Yeah. And you say you have green screens to do it. What do we need to pull that off?
We don't need anything. What do you mean?
Do we need a crew? Video no. usually tends to mean you need a crew.
Not necessarily. It'd be nice to have a crew, you know what I mean? But because we could have people alternating between cameras and whatnot. But I mean, we could actually shoot with a couple cameras, have a couple angles, or just one camera shooting on, depending on how long the show is.
Yeah, that's right.
You'd want some multicam if the show's of any length. If it's just like, you know, a minute or two, could have a single camera.
Sure.
It's not a big deal.
I was talking to my son Jonas about... video podcast because he listens to a few that are on every day. Mm-hmm. And these are just dudes on YouTube who have their own channel. They have hundreds of thousands of subscribers. Mm-hmm. And one guy is he's got his medical marijuana license, and he just puts a camera on the coffee table in front of him, puts one off to the left of him and one off to the right, pushes record on all of them, and then edits
cut it
together.
Up after. Yeah.
So it looks good enough, and it's, you know, it's interesting, and he enjoys it. Watches it every day, so we can do something like that.
A couple lights, a green screen, a couple cameras. I mean, we could easily, especially if they're short. It's, you know, not as time consuming doing the multicam thing because you could just cut between the cameras or whatever. But
right,
almost doesn't really matter whether what they're doing. You know what I mean? You could have three cameras. You know, one full shot and one on each of us.
Right. So we
could,
yeah.
You know.
Well, you're all trained in that aspect. Let's do it.
Yeah.
You got the time for that?
I don't necessarily have the time for it, but I'd really like to do it. So somehow maybe we can do something.
So in when this show eventually whittles away, we'll dive into video.
Maybe. Maybe we should just switch.
And then just go from bring the music segment into the new...
Something. I don't know. Yeah.
Show that's on video.
That's a possibility.
And then we could actually use clips from other stuff. That would make it interesting too.
What do you mean?
YouTube clips is what I'm thinking of. Like,
oh, just stuff a minute like in the thing next to you and whatever?
Or no, just dissolve to it or fade to it or whatever, you know, just bring it in.
We could do whatever we want, yeah.
Like we were just talking about a YouTube channel, we could, while we're talking, have show the guy that I was talking about smoking his bong. And
we do that on the thing that comes up.
The thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know?
Is there anything else you wanted to touch on as far as repurposing music that was originally... meant to be commercially or wasn't meant to be used?
I don't know. Can we maybe think of one more way that music is repurposed for the purpose of this show before we leave?
Way that music is repurposed. What about...
somebody takes old music and does what with it? What would you do with old music? Movies? I guess that's another thing music is like kind of repurposed for, playing in films.
Soundtracks.
Sure.
What was I just thinking of? A soundtrack that I was looking for the other day that was...
some of them have great music too. Stuff that you know, hadn't heard in a while and it's...
Right. It was the Singles movie. You probably... I don't know. Were you into that kind of... It was...
I don't know. What is it? What Singles? Well, I don't know.
It was... Matt Dillon was in it. It was around when... grunge was getting big, and I think it actually took place in Seattle.
A movie, it's called Singles,
and it was kind of a big thing. That's where Alice in Chains originally released Wood, I think.
Was it anything like that Dazed and Confused movie or something like that?
No.
Okay.
I think it was more like it was about people hooking up. That's why it was called Singles.
Okay.
And I was looking for that soundtrack. There was a song on there for you. Oh, Paul Westerberg. He was from a band, not
I had one of those at Gilligan's.
Paul Westerberg?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, yeah, since that was so easy, is there another way that repurposed music is used for something? As a teaching tool, perhaps?
A teaching tool?
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes you see these artists, bands, sometimes standard type music, but a lot of times electronic, and they pull one of their songs and it's multi-tracked and they put it out there for the purpose of other people mixing it.
Oh yeah.
And contest type stuff. You know what I mean? So for it's kind of a repurpose of material that was like, you know, just put out commercially and now they're using it for something else to do those kinds of things with and see what people can do with them.
Right. I think I remember when GarageBand was, Apple was trying to put a lot of their mic behind that so people would buy more computers and use GarageBand. Some artists, I want to say the dude from, Nine Inch Nails, Trent Reznor, he put out a couple tracks in GarageBand form. You were able to download it. It was, you know, whatever, 8 tracks were there already, and he invited you to mix it up.
Right.
You know, adjust the levels, add your own track of your own, put in some other instrument if you want, and I think he was going to pick one and actually use it as a bonus track on the CD when he actually released it. Do you remember any of that? No.
I do, sort of.
Yeah.
The guitar band, GarageBand was doing stuff like that, though.
Have you used
and
the
lessons
band
and stuff?
Lately?
Remember that? No. I don't even think I have it.
They changed it up quite a bit. We're recording right now using Logic, right?
Us?
Recording the show right now?
We're recording Pro Tools.
Pro Tools.
Yeah.
Because we're pro.
That's right.
Yeah.
Industry standard. And on that, we'll leave everybody till next week when we have the show on...
Trivia? Is that what it is?
Yep, trivia show.
Music trivia.
That's right.
Now you should... Your iPad will be full.
It will?
Yes.
Why?
Because it'll be full of trivial tidbits on music.
Mine? Why mine?
Because
you won't have anything when you come?
Because you're the king of trivia.
I'll fill it up. All right.
I wonder, I'm rim shot in there.
So we'll see everybody next week.
Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. See you next week.
Bye.
Join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.